get it out first thing, brother. I enjoyed that Sunday school this morning. I surely did. And I want you to know that I'm a heathen too. Amen. He made sure we all understood before we got out of Sunday school that you are heathen. So if you don't know that, then you can come down here and talk to the Lord and he can tell you all about it. Amen. I praise God I am that adulterer, that liar, that cheater, and that old drunk. Praise God that was washed in blood one day, and the Lord came down and he saved my soul. I ain't much better than I used to be, but praise God, I ain't what I ought to be, but I ain't what I used to be. Amen. I'm glad today that we are saved and blood bought. I'm his mess. Amen. I ain't yours. You can judge me all you want to, but it don't matter about your judgment. I am in his hands and in his word and authority. So I thank God for the privilege it is to be here with you this morning. And we're going to be going over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if you have your Bibles, and if you don't have your Bibles, you need to find one, amen? Get beside somebody that's got one. Don't you dare take my word for it this morning. You look in that book and you make sure that the preacher's got it right. A lot of folks today, brother said this morning, they want to put preachers on pedestals. I think you ought to respect them and think you ought to love them, but thank God don't trust them. You look in that book yourself. And you come to the understanding of what God has to say. Amen? All right, 1 Corinthians, we ain't going to read all 58 verses. Somebody say amen. This is a long one. Well, we are going to get to the last end of it. We're going to begin reading verse 50. If you don't mind, stand with us while we read these eight verses tonight, today. It ain't night yet, but it'll get there after a while. Let me turn these hearing aids down. If I don't, I'll be very quiet. Amen. I can get loud now. Somebody say amen. All right, verse number 50. The Bible said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father, we thank you so much this morning for the precious spirit that we're feeling here today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again open the word and break open. And God, you're going to give us some bread from heaven. Thank Lord out of this word. And we just ask you this morning, God, we thank you for all the teachers that's taught and the musicians, the singers, everything that's been done according to your will this morning. Lord, we thank you. And God, we praise you. And Lord, we pray now, Lord, as you open this scripture, God, that you'll touch the heart of everyone in this room. If there's one that's lost this morning, God, please don't let them walk out the door the way they came in. Lord, if there's one listening this morning on Facebook, Father, I pray that you deal with that heart right now. Lord, that they'll come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, I want to pray for us Christians today. Lord, that if those of us who fear the things of this world and fear the things of death, God, let us read the scripture and know today that you're already there. You've done been through it. And God, we've nothing to fear today because we're in your precious hands. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. I ask you, Lord, to help us to get out of the way and allow you your will this morning. Go with us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing with us this morning. We're going to preach. I titled this thing Death. Now, I know a lot of people today, when you go talking about death, they don't want to have no talk about it whatsoever. But I was reading and this morning, they say you can spend up to about $20,000 on somebody dying nowadays here in this world. $20,000 to put somebody in the ground. Well, I'm going to tell you something today. If you don't know this, death is guaranteed. Amen? I'm going to give you a statistic. Everybody likes statistics. Y'all ready? And y'all take notes. Write this down. This is going to be a real good statistic. Y'all ready? All right, if you're ready. One out of every one person is going to die. Did y'all get that? There ain't never one of us going to get out of it. We're going to die one of these days. Now, I'm going to tell you, people in this world today, they want to color their hair, stretch their skin, and do all manner types of things to keep this body from dying. But one of these days, we're going to exit this whole world. And it's a guarantee. Archbishop Layton said one morning, he was asked by a friend. I don't know who this arch. I just read this morning. I thought it goes right along. Charles Spurgeon is the one that quoted this in his book. But he said one morning was asked by a friend, "Have you heard a sermon?" He said, "No, but I met a sermon, for I met a dead man carried to be buried." Remember, the sermon of your life is going to be best preached by you. It's not going to be best preached by the preacher. There's a lot of folks, and I know the pastor's had issues, and it's not necessarily an issue. Don't get me wrong. I'm growing up just a little bit in the Lord. Somebody say amen. If you ain't growing, you're going backwards. But I've always been one of those, I don't want to do funerals, and I don't want to do weddings. Both of those things are trifle for me. But I'm growing out of that. Why? Because them are open doors to testify and preach to the Lord. Them are open doors to get the Word of God to some places you might not normally get the Word of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. Don't wait to the last day and call a preacher to come to your funeral for your family or anything else. Get that preacher involved in your life all the way through your life, and you be that sermon. Thank God. So he don't have to get up there and stumble over words. He can get up there and say, "Praise God, I knew where they headed when they walked out of this earth." It's a whole lot easier on the preacher. But need to know today that the sermon is preached by you. Now, Paul was writing to the Corinthians. Let me lay the foundation on this just a minute. We got to get this runway started before we can get that airplane up off of it. Amen. And sometimes I'm very slow, amen, about getting off the runway. But Paul was writing due to divisions. He was writing due to heresies. And there was even a case of incest in the Corinthians. And they wasn't judging it. They was just saying, they was sweeping it under the rug. This guy's saying something. We're all right with it. It'll be okay. Folks, never is sin okay. It's Steve. And I love him, and I know he won't. But if he got up here and preached that something the Bible don't say, if it says it's sin, he says it's okay, you better get away from it. We still serve a God in control of light, and somebody say amen. He can strike you anytime he wants. We need to understand that Paul was writing upon these, and then he got toward the end, he started speaking about death and resurrections because some of the Corinthians was beginning to disbelieve in the resurrection. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't believe that Jesus rose again, then your faith ain't going to get you nowhere. You got to believe he was born in a manger, and you got to believe he's born of a virgin. You got to believe he died on that cross, but you got to believe he arose again on that third day. Because without that part, we ain't getting out of here, folks. One of these days, I might go into that ground, but I guarantee you, by his grace, by his blood, by his promise, I won't stay there. Amen. We need to understand that Paul was writing to this, and then at the very beginning, y'all, I'm out of shape, okay? I'm about to run out of breath. I don't preach. I listen to a preacher all week preach so hard and fast. I asked him how you do it. I don't know how he does it. Whoo, hallelujah. All right, now we're caught up. He was writing to all these things against him. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" They was arguing over the fact of believing in resurrection. How many of y'all believe today there's wolves in this world walking around in sheep's clothing? They're in pulpits today. They're in churches today, and they're preaching heresies. They're preaching all kinds of things that's against contrary to God's word. And I'm telling you, you want to know, Lord, really? Okay. You want to know the validity of a pastor? Next Sunday night will tell you the validity of your pastor when it comes to God's house. You say, "What's happening next Saturday?" Well, if you don't know, it's Super Bowl. Church is next Sunday, not next Saturday, next Sunday night. We'll gather together to watch a football game instead of preaching God's word. You say, "Well, that's mighty minute. That is not minute at all. That's telling a brand new Christian that it's okay to do whatever you want to in the house of God. Folks, that's heresy. That's against God's word. And that's a simple thing, but it's a big thing. And there's a whole lot of simple things throughout life that equals to the big thing toward the end. You say, "How so?" Well, if you allow just a little, brother was preaching this morning, you allow just a little bit pornography. You allow just a little bit of whatever else in the world, alcohol, drugs, or any of these things, all it takes is a little bit to get it started, and your body will start craving it. And then you can't get out of it. And you need to understand that everything you welcome into your life, into this church, somewhere down the road is going to be paid for by somebody. So we need to know Paul was preaching. He said, I ain't believing this. You need to listen to me. I've taught you this. There was a resurrection. Jesus came back without dispute. And folks, in the world today, there's so many preachers. I still believe it. I see it so many times. We believe in the King James Version Bible. I don't know where you stand with that. And I'm not going to sit here and throw stones at you wherever you go. But I'm going to tell you this. You better do some research on what book you're using. You better read it and understand it. You better make sure that they ain't cross-changing or doing anything else. Because, folks, I'm telling you today, the devil is way smarter than you are, and he's been at it way longer than you are, and he can slip you a little something easy in there. Folks won't want to read a storybook. Folks, the Bible's not a storybook. It's a book that will change your life if you read it. But there's so many preachers. They don't want to preach the King James Version anymore. We don't understand that. I once knew a pastor. He pastored for 40 years. He couldn't even read and write. He had his kids read the book to him every Saturday night or whatever so he could get his memorized and he could get up and preach God's word because he couldn't read. Later on down the road, the only book he could read was the King James Version Bible. Folks, don't tell me you can't understand it. It is so simple that a small child can understand it. God designed it that way. I'm just putting that out there for whoever wants to hear that. That wasn't part of it. But anyway, moving on. There's your foundation. Introduction. Now, here's the introduction. Here's what Paul said in verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You cannot get to heaven unless you are saved. You ain't going on your good looks. You can't get enough money to get there. Your family won't get you there. Your preacher can't save you there. You must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. You ain't going to heaven no other way. You ever notice? heaven's got gates. Hell's an open door. You only going to get in on certain circumstances. Amen. Jesus Christ. That's it. You got to believe it. You can't play with it. You can't ignore it. A lot of folks says, I choose not to choose. You made a choice. You need to understand today that if you walk out of this house today, lost and undone without Jesus Christ as your Lord, you've made a choice. You say, I decided another day. You've made a choice. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow, nor are we guaranteed the next minute. If you walk out of here today after hearing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit beckoning your heart and you refuse that great gift and you go out into the parking lot and you fall dead, that is it for you. There won't be a second chance. Say, preacher, whew, them's hard. I don't want to hear all that. We're getting off the runway. We'll be high as a kite before we leave, I promise. But before we get started, we got that long trek down the runway. We're going to have to get it out. And folks, I'm telling you this morning, I've heard so many times, and it still ceases to amaze me, but God's good to us. Amen? Somebody say amen. How many preachers, after being preachers for so long, finally get saved? Or deacons, I've heard, become a deacon and live, and all of a sudden, boom, I ain't saved. I sit and think, wow. I heard a story the other day and he said, preacher, he was talking to a preacher, I can't remember who it was. I won't say it's Adrian Rogers said it, but I could be wrong. But he said that he was talking to this man come to him, he said, I've been to the seminary, I've been pastoring of this great church. I forget how many years it was, but he said, I don't think I'm saved. I mean, it's great to come to realization, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. And the person said, well, we got down on our knees right there where we was when we began to pray. He said, when that man left, he was saved. Amen. If you cannot say without a shadow of a doubt in your heart and mind, I am saved, you ain't saved. You better check up. You better make sure. That's one thing you don't want to get wrong. You want to make sure you're ready to go when it's time to go. Amen? Folks, we need to understand you can't get to heaven unless you're saved. You must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Good work will not get you there. Now, death is coming. Amen? We don't want to talk about it. Why? Because we don't know nothing about it. Best thing we know is you're here and then you're not here no more. That's the best we can explain it. We don't know nothing about it. But thank God, why don't we talk to the one, praise the Lord, that has been through it and come out the other side. His name is Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, preacher, you done told us all the time that we're all going to die. You are. You can't cheat it. You ain't going to get out of it. There's nothing you can do to stop it. It's a train that's headed your way, and at one time or another, it's going to be coming to you. Now, the appointed time, it's appointed unto man once to die. That appointment, it's right now somewhere. God's keeping up with everything. And somewhere along the way, you're going to find that Jeremy Neal is going to have an appointment with death. It could be today. It could be going down the interstate running 80 miles an hour like I do often. It can happen. You could have a heart attack at any given time. There is a guaranteed fact that I have an appointed time with death. And it does not matter, listen to me, it does not matter whether you're saved or lost, that appointment is coming. There's no cancellation, there's no rescheduling this thing. It's going to hit you one of these days. And I don't like death no more than anybody else. I believe in my heart God has put into me the will to live, as he has you. And sometimes he'll give you the grace to die. You've seen it, as I have. But that appointment is still coming. And he says it's appointed unto once man wants to die, then the judgment. You'll find that the appointment time to depart this body is coming, and you're either going to one or two places. There's a religion that likes to teach you there's a middle place. That's the lie of the devil. There's a religion that teaches that when you go into that middle place that somebody can buy you out of there and get you to heaven. That's the lie of the devil. The Bible only speaks of two places, heaven and hell. You're going to go to one of those places regardless. And this morning, you need to understand that that destination is your choice. I've told you, you're going to make a choice before you leave this morning. And I love preaching to people I don't have a clue because I can just lay it thick and hard. I don't know where you're at, dear God, this morning. But I'm telling you, by the authority of God's word, that if you've never been saved and you left the world at this very moment, hell would be where you'll lift your eyes like the rich man. And when you lift your eyes in hell, you will never, listen to me, you will never have another chance at being saved again. I believe in all my heart, there's a lot of people sitting in hell today or listening in their mind over and over a message that's been preached such as this that told them they needed to be saved and they refused this great gift. Folks, listen to me. You're here this morning for a purpose and a reason. And I don't know who this is for. Maybe somebody here, maybe somebody on Facebook. I don't care. It is God's will. It is God's word. And he said it ain't coming back void and he's not going to let it be preached unless he's got a purpose and a reason. So the purpose and a reason today is somebody, and it might be you, needs to come to Jesus this morning and be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's up to you. The destination is your choice. You choose whether to go to heaven or hell. He's made that option. A lot of people says, I can't believe that we have a God that will put somebody in hell. Folks, he didn't put you in hell. He gave you a way to get out of hell. You was already headed there. We need to understand that the destination is up to us. And when you leave here today, you're going to choose Jesus or the devil. That's saved and unsaved. You're going to choose. You go out here today and live the life like hell, you're going to choose the devil. You can go out here today choosing Jesus, and you can live for him. And you can do what he would have you to do. Revelations 20 and 15 says this, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You got to get your name in the right book. Come on. You got to get your name in the right book. If you don't believe in Jesus and you don't get saved, you're condemned. You know what condemned means? That means no more. You're done. That means it's over for you. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "He that," a lot of people like to read John 3, 16. They quit there, but there's a whole lot more below it. Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation. Listen, this is what condemns people. This is why people don't want to believe in Jesus. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You want to know what condemnation is? Refusing Jesus Christ. Wanting that darkness, wanting that evil, wanting that sin. That will get you condemned to hell. Because when Jesus comes in, listen to me, I can remember before I got saved, I spent a lot of time wondering where my next bit of alcohol was coming. My next little spot or my next little adventure, so to speak. I kept looking and wanting it. I needed it. I craved it. I had to have it. And then the day Jesus saved me, folks, it went away. It was still there, but I didn't want it. And he had to give me strength and grace and help to get through the addiction part of it. But, folks, the desire was not there anymore. I just read a book that really touched my heart. It was written back in the 60s, I believe it was. And it was the name of the book is The Cross and the Switchblade is the name of it. If you've never read it, you should. But it was about a pastor, Pentecostal pastor at that. I didn't get that toward the end. But the pastor that it got sent to New York where kids was on drugs and gangs. But one of the ways that the ways of the world was, I'd get them kids small and they'd start giving them marijuana. Well, marijuana, it's not that big addictive drug, but it's a beginning. It's to get you that feeling. It's get that flesh to wanting something, feeling good. And then after a while, I don't know how it is with you. I mean, I'll sit down and eat a piece of cake, and then I'll go next week and eat another piece of cake, and then another piece of cake. Before long, I'm eating two pieces of cake. And if I keep at it, I'll eat a whole cake. Y'all hear me? I mean, I used to get by one chicken leg, but I'm up to about five now when I sit down. But it was hook 'em on marijuana. And then once marijuana took its effect, that wasn't enough. They'd start giving them heroin, the stronger drug. And then before you know it, they're taking heroin and then they're shooting it. And then they're taking it just in different ways to get it in there so much faster until they're completely hooked on drugs. That they begin to steal and kill and do everything to get just a little money to get another fix. Folks, that's how it is down here in this world. You want that desire. You want that excitement. You want all that in the world has to offer. But, folks, he won't never show you the pain at the end of it. He's going to teach you how glorious and wonderful it is to be a part of a gang or be a part of some kind of something that is just, they show you. I used to have those buddies when we go get drunk. These are all my friends. When I got saved, I couldn't get around them. They didn't want me around them. And folks, I'm telling you something today. The devil paints a pretty picture, but he don't ever put the ending of that picture. And a lot of folks are going to hell simply because they will not believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Now, I have explained death the best I can to those who ain't saved. Let us go to the other side of the coin for those of us who are saved. I told you we're going to fly high before we get out of here. Now, you sit through the hard stuff, and I get that, but we need to pray for those that's not saved. Because they're still living under the delusion of the devil that everything's okay when it's not okay. I don't know if you've watched the world or not, but it's getting really close to my Savior's return. And when he returns, that's it. It's over. For those who are saved by the grace of God, 52 and 53 are verses. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, to a lost person, death should be a terrifying thing, because death means they are living their best lives right now. You with me? But on the other side of that coin, to a saved person, death should be a glorious time, because our best days are yet to come. Come on. You got to get happy about this. We fear something that we don't understand. But what we don't understand is Jesus is sitting right there waiting for us to get over where he's at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Woo! Hallelujah! I once heard a preacher say, if you're in a shouting, excited person, do not go to heaven with me. Amen. I wonder about these quiet Christians nowadays. What's going to be like for you on that shout when you get up there in heaven? Because I'm here today to tell you, me and Miss Connie, we're going to be shouting and running just as fast as them legs will tie us up and let us go. Why? Because that's going to be a great and glorious day when we enter over to the other side. We just heard recently of Todd Smith's dad dying. I know y'all probably heard as well. And then there's another little lady my wife tells me in the same church over there that passed away last night. Miss Lily, I think was her name. And Christy was talking away. She said, I was just wondering when they got into heaven. She gets up there and says, Mr. Ken, how long you been here? I've only been here for a day or two. Hey, man, I don't know how that works. And I told her, I said, I don't know how time works, but I mean, it might work that way. But nonetheless, can you imagine when you slip over on the other side? See the ones that we have long ago has done went on before us. It's going to be a great and glorious day. Oh, by the way, Paul's talking about the rapture when he talks about the twinkling of an eye. If you don't know this, let me share this a little bit with you, and you need to go study it. You can find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, he talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that remain shall meet him in the air, and then we shall forever be with the Lord. Amen. But he talks about a twinkling of an eye, change in a twinkling of an eye. Y'all want to know how fast a twinkling of an eye is? Watch this. Do you get it? One more time. That's a twinkling. That's a wink. That's what it means. That's what it means. That means it's just, and just like that, it's going to change. And then we're going to step out of here over in the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't going to be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. These old knees and backs and fingers and toes are going to all be not hurting anymore. We ain't going to have to worry about people hating us. We ain't going to have to worry about us hating people. We're going to get along, we're going to love, and we're going to be shouting, and we're going to be singing. That's all Bible. Folks, death to a Christian today is not going to be that bad. Rapture's going to be quit, but known by the whole world. Listen to me. That rapture's going to take place one of these days. Jesus is going to step out on the clouds, and praise God, they're going to blow the trumpet, and he's going to shout, and we're going to go. And folks, I'm going to tell you something today. It's going to be a spectacular thing on this earth. Spectacular for us, but not so much for the people that's left behind. Have you ever thought about what will take place when the Lord calls people up in the rapture? I mean, I'm sure there's some saved jet pilots in the air flying big 747s. Gone. You just be flying, no pilots. I've thought many a times, if the Lord ever comes back with me on the interstate running up and down that thing, that's going to be a white truck running down there without nobody in the seat of it. It's just going to be on its own. Folks, listen to me. We need to understand. You know, a lot of people say the rapture is going to be quiet. Ain't nobody going to know nothing about it. I don't think the lost is going to hear that trumpet, or they ain't going to know exactly what's happened, but they're going to open their eyes and they're going to realize all the children in the world are gone. Child ain't going to hell, folks. When they get the age of accountability, yes. But until that, they're innocent. They don't know sin. And when rapture comes, they're going. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a catastrophe in this world, but it's going to be awesome up in heaven today when we all get up right around that table. I know he's going to have chicken, preacher. I just believe it in my heart. It might be something different than what we're normal to, but it's going to be looking like chicken. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. I want y'all to get this. I want you to understand how important you are. And then we're going to finish our lesson about death. Our message about death. How are you going to look at it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I don't know if you know this or not, what that verse means, and I encourage you to go study it, because that verse truly means the Holy Spirit of God is that one who lets. And what he means is the Holy Spirit of God is not allowing the Antichrist, the devil's forces, and all these things to take place in this world. And you want to know why? Because he's still got the most precious thing to Jesus sitting right here called the church. Amen. You still here means you still got reason and purpose. You being here today, saved by the grace of God, you're here for a reason. Amen. You're not here by chance. And the Holy Spirit of God is still out there beckoning souls, and it's up to you and I to tell them who he is and why he's calling them. We need to understand, as long as the Holy Spirit is here, as long as the church is here, the devil can't do everything the devil wants to do. We still have power. And until we get out of here, he ain't going to be able to do nothing. But the moment we're out, the Holy Spirit's gone. That's when the Antichrist is coming. A lot of folks say, well, this man's Antichrist. Folks, we don't know who he is. And to be quite honest with you, I really don't care who he is. We're at the place now, you need to be going down the road picking just as fast as you can pick. Telling people about Jesus and getting every one you can get. That old sower in the Bible Jesus talks about, he just slings them seeds. He ain't really. I'm at home, I'm a cheap guy, so I'm placing one at a time when I plant a garden. I know some of y'all laughing at me. I'm not a gardener, but I do my best. But that farmer, he's going down there, he's a slinging them seeds. Come on, because he's a wanting to make sure everything's covered. Folks, that's how we need to testify. That's how we need to witness. That's how we need to be about Jesus. Because one of these days we're out of here and they're not going to have nobody. You say, well, you said it was over when the rapture. Pretty much is. If you can't believe in Jesus Christ in the easy days right now, I can't imagine what it's going to be like whenever your life's on the line if you believe Jesus Christ. You need to think about it. But you'll find that death is a sweet reward. It's a reward for those who are saved by grace. Billy Graham, he coined this phrase. That's how everybody remembers. D.L. Moody said it first. He said, someday you're going to read and hear that Billy Graham is dead. He said, don't believe it. Don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive now than I've ever been in my life. I've just changed addresses. I will have gone into the presence of God. Folks, that should be your testimony. Thank God one of these days they're going to say Jeremy Neal is dead, but don't you believe a word of it. All I've done is shed it off this bars of flesh, and praise God, I have come alive forevermore. We need to remember that. It's a sweet reward. I mean, if it wasn't for the penetrating power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we'd all be jumping and running off cliffs trying to get up there. But he don't want us to do that. Verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Sting is something that pokes you, something that hurts you. And what Paul's referring to is something similar to like a scorpion or some kind of insect or something that can get you. And when it gets you, it makes your whole body hurt. It takes you out. And some of it can even kill you. But thank God Jesus took that for me, didn't he? Amen. He took that for me. It was a man I read about one day. He was coming home from his wife's funeral. It was a dark day. And his children were in the back, and he was driving them. He looked back, and he see how sad they was and how despair. They was tore up. I can imagine. And just then a truck crossed in front of him. And he looked at him. He said, kids, which one would you rather be hit by, the truck or the shadow? And the kids looked up and said, well, the shadow, because the shadow don't have no power. Psalms 23 and 4 tells me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know what the moral of that story was? Jesus took the truck so that we could take the shadow. Do you get that? Death ain't what you think it is. I get we looking at suffering before that person dies. Sometimes they have to go through some pain and go through some suffering and things like that. But for that one to save by the grace of God, once that day is released, it's sweet release into the hands of the Lord. The Bible teaches me that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, those are things that is promised to us by God. Ephesians 2 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You're saved by a faith, a belief, a hope in something greater than you. So if you've got enough faith this morning to believe that he could save you, then have enough faith that when you reach that pinpoint of death, which is nothing more than separation from soul and body, but when you reach that threshold of death, Jesus is going to be standing right there. Glory to God. Them ears that don't work. Them eyes that can't see. Them hands you can't use no more. Them knees and backs that are going out so fast. One of these days you're going to open them eyes and see that hand, and glory be to God, it's going to be whole again. Think about it. What is death? Nothing more than reaching my Jesus. And these eyes are going to behold that man called Jesus. Job said, with these eyes, I'm going to see the Lord. I'm going to see him one of these days. In order for me to see him, I got to get out of this body. And I got to get out of this world. Hallelujah. Death is not that bad when you start thinking about it through God's eyes. Death is not that bad. We need to understand that Revelation 22 and verse 20. I've done preached way too long. I'm sorry. But I'm having a good time. Not sorry for that. You'll find that he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. John got so happy he said, amen, even so come Lord Jesus. This evening, we have a desire to get to heaven, amen? But be careful you don't get too selfish, because your desire of going to heaven will overshadow your desire to see folks saved and go with you. One of these days, Paul talked about jewels. Jesus talked about jewels. He considered us his jewels. But as a Christian today, one of these days, even if it's just one person, you're going to see that one person that you helped tell about Jesus. Think about that. It'd be a sad thing to get to heaven and know you had a long life of Jesus in your life, but not one thing up our desk to see the results of your labor down here in this world. Today, death is going to be sweet for those that are lost. But we all got family and friends that are lost. It's going to be sweet to us when we get there, but they'll never make it. And it's up to us this morning to understand that you've still got purpose. You still got reason. Don't give excuses. Don't say, ah, they won't listen. Don't say, ah, I've tried, but it just ain't got me nowhere. You try again. Right. You see, I was drugged to church as a child. And many a days I listened to preaching. And many times I sat in a church. And at age 16, I finally got to a place that I didn't have to go to church. And then I went many years just acting the devil. But I'm so glad God never quit. I'm glad I had a mama that kept praying. And I'm glad today that one day in 1996, he reached down and he saved me. Because they did not quit. Don't quit on that lost loved one. God's still in the saving business. The Holy Spirit is still here. And they can still be saved. It's up to you. This morning I'm gonna make an altar call, if that's okay. I want you